Thank you for supporting WBEZ. You keep public media public. December gifts are among the most important because they set the tone for our reporting in 2026. Next year, we're doubling down on bringing you stories that arm you with the facts. This journalism relies on everyone contributing what they can. Join them today at wbez.org/donate.
WBEZ's nonprofit spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. Have you ever tried to buy concert tickets only to click cancel after seeing all the fees stacked up? Well, the Department of Justice is trying to target that issue by filing a lawsuit against Live Nation. The DOJ alleges that the company has monopolized the ticket-selling marketplace after it merged with Ticketmaster back in 2010. Live Nation says the lawsuit won't reduce service fees and that net profits show that the company does not wield monopoly power. So to hear how this is playing out locally, I sat down with Robert Gomez, who owns independent Chicago venues Subterranean and Beat Kitchen, and Chicago rapper and songwriter Che Rhymefest Smith. Here's our conversation.
One of the first experiences I had was we had booked Moon Taxi, a band that many of your listeners may not have heard of, for 2 years in a row. And we were finally looking forward to their next tour because it would most likely sell out. And made the call, and they're like, sorry, we're not available. They signed the entire tour with Live Nation, so they can route them through the whole country, and it wasn't even an option for us to bid on it.
When was this? What year?
Oh, this goes back about 8 or 9 years.
Wow. Okay. Well, and so we were already seeing the signs at that point.
For sure. They started to grow to that level. Like, it was not really something that impacted small venues up until that point. Mm-hmm. But now they're able to do that. They're able to route them, and it makes it... Yeah, it's hard to blame the band. It's one check, right? They get 30 gigs out of it. The agent's job is much easier because Live Nation's routing them.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is we don't have an access. It's not like they're still bringing them to Subterranean. They're bringing them to Live Nation venues, and that's where you get blocked out.
I see. Yeah. Rhymefest, how has this issue affected you as the musician?
Yeah, well, you know, for me, Sasha, as a musician, I think about the magic that's being lost in the art of performing. So the first time I ever saw Prince perform, he had done a stadium concert, but I got to see him in a small club. And that's when you really saw Prince.
Mm-hmm.
When it wasn't fireworks behind him, when it was just him and a piano and a guitar and the singing. And the first tour that I ever did with Justin Timberlake, we were going around Europe and we were doing big stadiums, but then Justin would say, you know, for a couple of days, I'm going to do some small gigs and some small pubs. And I never knew Justin Timberlake could really sing.
Until then. The intimate settings.
Yeah. And so what I see happening with the monopoly of Live Nation is it's destroying that small, intimate setting where the artist can really create a good relationship mm-hmm. with the people who become the fans. And what I see down the line is once the small vendor is cut out, then those checks that Robert is saying that the artists are getting, they're next. The artists are next.
Yeah.
And I saw it with streaming, and I'm seeing the same thing happening
yeah.
with performances. And so me as an artist, yes, there is checks in the immediate, but artists also are responsible for being visionaries.
Yeah.
And for having a value system that the art portrays.
Yeah, let's give some more context here. According to Thursday's filing, Live Nation Entertainment currently owns or controls over 250 concert venues across North America. Mm. It controls around 60% of concert promotions at major concert venues across the country. The company also directly manages more than 400 musical acts. Talk more, Robert, about why, in your view, Live Nation's able to outcompete other venues.
Well, that was the fear. So they merged in 2010, but the the Senate judiciary hearings were in 2009. So clearly there was concern over what this merger, what impact it would have. And Jerry Mickelson, the owner of JAM, was asked to testify, and he laid out the fear of what a conglomerate like this could do, and all of it has, well, most of it has come true.
Yeah.
It's because they have so much to leverage, and we all leverage. I leverage everything I can to get shows, right? I produce Wicker Park Fest, and I leverage the festival openly, and it was only natural that they would leverage everything they can. So now they have the ticketing power. They can reduce their promoter fee,
right?
Go without a promoter fee because they have the ticketing side of it. Our promoters can't do that. They have to make money off the show. And so, but then on the flip side of that is the artist can gain, but it goes more to the artist, right? So it's, it just made it very difficult for mm-hmm. people to compete. And it impacts me much less because I'm small. It is much bigger impact for the bigger venues.
Right.
Can I say something? You know, I love that Robert continues to think about the artist and how much the artist is getting paid, but Robert doesn't know how much he and what he does as a small vendor created Rhyme Fest, created Yay, created Common. We grew up going to the Double Door, the Elbow Room, Subterranean. Mm-hmm. It's because of people like you, Robert, that we were able to craft and hone our skills. If the big conglomerates come in and cut people like you out, look, even my community service, I'm running for school board right now, but that community mindset came from people like you who created community spaces that were safe for artists like me to grow up in community, in music, and express myself. I love that you're thinking about artists and are we sustaining our life? But me as an artist, I get to say that without people like you that create those spaces, there wouldn't be us. So, you know, as AI is taking over, as big corporations and as, you know, these streaming companies are taking over, what I really see is the minimization of community leaders like yourself.
Yeah.
I think I just found my spokesman.
Yes. No, that was beautiful. Live Nation says that this lawsuit won't reduce the price of tickets. A statement posted to the company website reads in part that the lawsuit, quote, ignores everything that is actually responsible for higher ticket prices, from rising production costs to artist popularity to 24/7 online ticket scalping that reveals the public's willingness to pay far more than primary ticket prices, end quote. You're smiling, Robert. What do you have to say?
Well, they're not wrong, honestly. I mean, it's we as consumers now, not as a venue owner, but as consumers, are the ones who are willing to pay those prices.
So what can we as consumers do then about these ticket prices?
What can you do? You love the artist, you see the fees, and you still click buy. You know, that. How can I tell someone not to or advocate that you don't do that? Artists are seeing how much the secondary market is getting, and by that I mean the StubHubs of the world.
Yeah.
And they're like,
StubHub, SeatGeek.
And
people just standing outside the venue.
Exactly right. And they're not wrong to say that should be their revenue, not StubHub's, you know? And so that's where you're getting. So you're getting into new ticketing ideas. A new one is called dynamic ticketing, where it's based on demand. And you'll see this more and more. So as
this was introduced in 2011. Yeah.
But it's been being much more, it's being done now much more. And you'll see it so that as demand increases, the ticket will go up. It's not a fixed price anymore with that platform.
Yeah.
And that allows them to capitalize on those who are willing to spend that kind of money.
RhymeFest, venues book artists. And sometimes that stuff is done more through, like, your agent. So how much control does an artist have over the venues they get booked at?
I think it depends on what kind of artist you're talking about, how big that artist is, and, you know, how controlled that artist is. But I want to go back to kind of what is a monopoly. A monopoly is something that even if they show you the fees, even if they show you all the things that they're doing, if you like that artist, you have no choice because they cut out anybody else that could have that artist. So, you know, what Ticketmaster or what Live Nation will say is, well, you know, we're being transparent, but what good is it to be transparent if there's no other option? So, you know, in terms of artists, you know, there are bigger bands that I've seen that have demanded that those fees be cut or said, no, we're going to go to a smaller venue and perform. There are artists who have pushed back against the system. But what we're seeing in a monopoly is a wave.
Yeah.
And there's only so much you can do against the wave. And what we need, what people like Robert need, is equity. And I think when we're talking about the Department of Justice, the legal system is the only place where equity can be gained.
What do you want musicians to do then in the face of these bigger companies?
The best thing musicians have is their voice. I believe that people, like how you have a musician right here, right now, saying how important Subterranean was to my life, to my development as an artist. If musicians start doing that all over the country, all around the Midwest, even the one, you just made a movement, Sasha. I got to go talk to all my friends to talk about how important Subterranean was to us. And that begins to raise awareness. And when we talk about fans move on because they're not aware.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Right. And the more awareness you raise, the more questions that are raised, the more pushback you'll see.
WBEZ's nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
So, Robert, the Illinois Attorney General joined with a group of 30 state and district attorneys general on this lawsuit, along with the DOJ. Now, if this lawsuit does break up Live Nation and Ticketmaster, what impact do you think that would have then on the music landscape?
It would be fascinating to see how Live Nation would respond, because if they're not in control of the tickets, now they have to compete like the rest of us. So what they did was not a monopoly, just in my opinion. If Live Nation had bought the second largest promoter, AEG, that would be a monopoly. But this vertical integration of ticketing with the promotion company and the venues created a vertical integration, which allowed them to be monopolistic, meaning they can leverage so much more than any of us could and start to cut people out by simply leveraging and reducing fees that we rely on. Because they could rely on a different source.
So if they were to break them up, anything you think wouldn't change?
Oh, no, I think it would. Live Nation would then be more in our corner and fight the fees. You know, they would be in a position like they wouldn't want the ticketing company to get so much money on the fees. They'd want either a piece of that or renegotiate the deal. It would position them more in our corner than leaving it a big conglomerate.
And thinking locally, I mean, Chicago, we know, has a very rich independent music scene, right? How important is that when you have one company in the space with so much market space?
It's scary. It's so far, they haven't been very aggressive about going after smaller shows or smaller venues or building smaller venues. The two venues they have ownership or control of in Chicago are House of Blues and the Aragon.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing in between yet, but when that's the fear, why not continue to grow and start capitalizing on all the small markets so that when a Moon Taxi comes along, they can bring them to Chicago, you know, and continue to grow that. And that's the concern. It's really hard to compete against that.
We mentioned earlier Congress passed, it's called the Ticket Act, that transparency that you alluded to earlier. It requires sellers to list all costs and fees associated with a ticket. It is going to go into effect later this year. I mean, any other thoughts on that, Rhymefest?
Well, I'll say like this. I keep rhyming, ideas designing. Let's keep the venues going, Robert and Sasha Simon.
Hey.
I wish I could do that.
Live Nation applauded the Ticket Act, saying that it had more completed sales after it started showing all-in pricing or pricing of all the fees up front. So this lawsuit's going to be a long legal process. Nothing's going to get resolved today, of course. Regulations like that Ticket Act aren't in effect yet, even though it's coming at some point soon. What do you want to see from the Chicago music scene in the meantime? I'll give you both a couple seconds here. Robert, you first.
It'd be awareness. This is what we're doing now, is raising awareness so that people are understanding the impact. Artists need to understand the impact of their decisions and be okay with that. And that's I think, the main goal. And reminding the public, support your local venues. You know, we've been here, Subterranean, celebrating its 30th year.
Oh, congrats.
I'd love to be able to do that another 30 years, you know, and Bee Kitchen's on its 35th year next year. So, and there are a lot of us who have been here a long time, and we just need to remind everyone to continue to support us.
Last word to you.
And what I would say is, you know, there are a lot of really hot up-and-coming artists like Brittany Carter or Freddie Oso, and I would just really ask the local venues to give attention to these up-and-coming hot local artists, new artists, mid-tier artists, and the more dedicated that these venues are to them, as those artists get bigger, the more dedicated those artists will be to those venues. Sure. And that's how we create community. And in creation of community, we can, in the words of Public Enemy, fight the power.
We've been talking with Chicago rapper Rhymefest and independent venue owner Robert Gomez. The DOJ is suing Live Nation, alleging the company's created a monopoly over ticket prices. So we've been hearing local perspectives on that issue. Thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced and mixed by Max Lubers. It was edited by Daniel Tucker. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast so you never miss an episode. We feature local stories and the latest news on the pod. You can also check out our website at wbez.org/reset to see our full archive of conversations. Thanks for listening. We'll talk again tomorrow.
I love how WBEZ shows different sides of the story. I never feel like it's too polarized, and I think the reporters do an excellent job of trying to get the full story, trying to show different other sides. I'm often, when I'm listening to public radio, think in my mind, well, what about X? Or like, I have another question. Or like, have they thought about X? And most of the time, WBEZ thinks about all of it, which I really appreciate.